Morgan State.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and on our way to this program, I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. Remember, it's a credit union. It belongs to you. You get money back. It is not a bank. And you can find out more information also on the website, steinershow.org. We're going to talk about the Grand Prix and trees. There's a lot of controversy around the Grand Prix, but we're going to look at the trees in the Grand Prix. And that controversy has hit Baltimore. And later on, the next week, we will definitely be hitting the other controversies around Grand Prix as well. We're joined in studio here by Dave Troy, founder of Roundhouse Technologies, who is the organizer of the petition against the tree cutting and brought a lawsuit against the city around that. Beth Stroman is with us. She is manager of the Baltimore City Office of Sustainability. And Cheryl Casciani is with us. Cheryl is chair of the Baltimore Commission on Sustainability and director of the Neighborhood Sustainability at the Baltimore Community Foundation. And Dave, Beth, Cheryl, welcome. Good to have you all in the studio.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. See if we can't get your calls through here and let you join this conversation. There's been tons on the blogs and tons being written back and forth about this. And where do we begin? I think since you, in some senses, are the ruckus maker.
Yeah, I guess I get that dubious honor for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, really what happened was I was grabbing a coffee at On the Hill in Bolton Hill. I, you know, started my day. And I get an email from a friend that says, hey, look, they're cutting down trees on Pratt Street. And they look like big, healthy trees. And so I'm wondering what's going on with this. And so my wife, who is a kind of got a history of environmental awareness and things like that, she has helped to run a land trust for some time. We hopped on our bikes and went down to Pratt Street to check out what was going on. And photographed about three large, you know, roughly 40-year-old 24 to 36 inch circumference trees that have been cut down in front of the federal courthouse. And I think our first question was just kind of like, okay, what exactly is going on? Because, you know, it just wasn't clear from the situation. And the article that we had gotten forwarded from The Sun from the previous day said that 136 trees were to be cut down. So you can imagine our alarm if these were the first few of 136 or so that were to come down. And we weren't able to get answers. That was kind of a problem. So we contacted Baltimore Racing Development immediately and said, you know.
Contacted who?
Baltimore Racing Development. This is the company that's
running the
Grand
Prix.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I'm starting to slip into these terms now that I've been working this for a week.
Baltimore Racing Development. Gotcha. Right.
So we contacted them and said, you know, how many more trees are coming down? Where are they? And they kind of said, well, you know, we're not sure. You know, we're not sure how many have come down already. We're not sure how many still are more to come down. There may be some more in front of the convention center. But they said, it's okay. No more trees are going to get cut down until Monday, August 8th. So we were kind of like, okay, well, that'll give us a few days to, you know, at least figure out what's going on. And so we contacted, you know, other folks within the Grand Prix organization. I guess Thursday of last week, I went over to go see Baltimore Racing Development to talk to them about what exactly their plan was, because they had released some stuff and we were just trying to get clarity on what was going on. And on my way over there, there were five more trees cut in front of the convention center when they said they weren't going to cut any more until Monday the 8th. So at that point, I didn't know what to believe. And I felt like that until we could get more clarity on the answers, you know, the only solution was to try to put some kind of brakes on what was happening. And so on Friday, we filed paperwork for a motion for a temporary restraining order, an injunction against the city in particular, to try to just put the brakes on what was happening and just get the release of the documents. Because there was a memorandum of understanding, which has subsequently been released, that does outline what the plan is. but that had not been released until actually Monday afternoon, 2 days ago. So I can talk more about it as we get into this, but I want to give other folks here a chance.
Beth, so tell me, what's the story from the city side? What really happened here?
Well, actually, I was on vacation.
I know you were.
So that's it didn't help.
It was funny. Well, no, it wasn't, actually.
It wasn't funny, I'm sure.
Funny about it.
Yeah, it really stunk, actually. But what happened was I submitted the MOU to the
– MOU?
I'm sorry. Thank you. There was this official legal document that we had been working on.
Memorandum of Understanding,
which is a legal document that I had been working on with a huge team of people, quite frankly, not only the Baltimore racing people, but also the Downtown Partnership, Waterfront Partnership, the property owners, where we had worked through what was going to happen with the trees, documented it, and then I had submitted it to the Grand Prix staff before I went on vacation with this idea that they would look it over and we would continue negotiations when I got back. In the meantime, people had started putting up the track stuff because it takes, I guess, turns out 30 days or something to put that up. And that's the track stuff?
Bleachers.
All of this is really around bleachers.
But you negotiated this starting months ago.
Oh, it was a year ago, actually. This thing has been going on for a very, very long time. And So, the first thing that's, I think, really important to note is there never was going to be 136 trees to be cut. That was not a correct statement on the part of the Grand Prix.
Though they did make that statement.
They did make that statement incorrectly. It was somebody answered a question who really shouldn't have done that, because you shouldn't, you know, when I was in school, they taught me, don't talk about things that you don't know, you know, but not everybody knows that. But it was probably a great learning experience for that person. Unfortunately for me, it was worse for me. But basically, that was the number, though, that the Grand Prix did come to the city with originally. When they wanted to do every single grandstand that they could possibly get up, every single bleacher that would have taken out 136 trees. Clearly, that went over like a lead balloon with everyone involved, from the city side, from the Downtown Partnership side. And over this long period of negotiation, the total number of trees coming down was 31. I can tell you that the largest tree, we even had a certified arborist assess every single tree in the Pratt Street corridor and the Light Street corridor. I have a report. Some the ones coming down, the report is right here. The largest tree to come down was 16 inches in front of the courthouse, according to this arborist report that I have. But, you know, when you see that kind of stuff going on, it looks big, you know, and I definitely sympathize. I scream when I see trees coming down too. For the past 20 years, I think one of my first reactions to all the people defending the trees was, where the heck have you guys been my whole life? You know? So the good news is, though, that, you know, the city of Baltimore, you know, and actually I do have to say, I just appreciate people stepping forward and speaking their voices. I think that's what this is all about. This country is all about, really. But I want to assure everyone that it wasn't meant, you know, the city of Baltimore was not handling this like in a way that was irresponsible, or we were not blowing it off, that we've been working on this for a long time. I feel, quite frankly, because I wrote the city's first forest conservation ordinance. I've been implementing it with my staff for 20 years. I know a lot about trees. This is actually the best deal I think I've ever negotiated, because we're actually doubling the tree canopy downtown. If they do what they say they're going to do, we are going to have twice the caliper inches of trees in downtown Baltimore as of October 30th this year that we had before the trees were cut. We were very careful when we did the negotiating to focus on areas where the trees were already in poor health, because the fact of the matter is that if you look around downtown, the trees are kind of sick in a lot of places because we don't give them – we're working on changing the environment in which we grow our trees. One of the things that Eric Deal, the arborist, has done is completely change our specifications for tree pits. But we focused on areas where the trees weren't healthy. We focused on areas where we could move the trees somewhere else. And in the end, while there are 31 trees being cut down, there's going to be 194 trees being put back. And over that 5-year period, when those trees continue to grow, you will see a significant difference downtown.
Now, I have a question about what you just said, but let me, Cheryl, mm-hmm. let me let you
yeah,
jump
briefly,
in here.
And then we'll talk more to everybody. From the Sustainability Commission standpoint, we got called from the Sun to see if the commission wanted to make a statement because we are responsible for the implementation of the sustainability plan, and it has a goal of doubling the tree canopy by 2037. But honestly, we had been briefed by Beth in February, and when we learned all the facts in February about the negotiations and they were going to increase the tree canopy, we didn't feel the need to say anything at the time. What we regret is that the racing people spoke before there was the release of the MOU because people freaked. And without the facts, there was no way to know. We have since released a letter that basically acknowledges all of this stuff. But one of the things it does say is that we will, in fact, monitor to make sure that those trees get planted. It's one thing to say, oh, we're going to plant all these trees, and they're going to be here, and they're going to be this big. But the commission, and I will say that one of the commissioners, Delegate Mary Washington, really took the lead in pulling together a lot of the facts and reaching out to a lot of the commissioners. And it was her that suggested we do step up to say that we're going to monitor it. And from our standpoint, we would love it if all 4,000 people who signed the petition planted a tree. Because honestly, what you need more of is people stepping up and mobilizing people around these kinds of issues, whether it's trees, water, recycling. Let's get people involved. And that's why there's a silver lining to this.
Oh, there absolutely is. And, you know, at this point, it's up to about 4,520, I think, is
there
the total
go.
Number that have signed on to this. So people really care about it. And, you know, I think the thing that, really got people upset about it was that, you know, it seemed as though a whole lot of negotiation had been done essentially in secret. And I think that, certainly I don't feel like that was your intention to be doing it as a backroom deal, because I'm sure you were just trying to get it done and negotiate a good deal for the city and all that. But I would suggest that, you know, on a lot of different levels, this whole exercise failed kind of a 21st century PR test. You know, it just failed to meet the standard for what it takes to engage citizens in government in a big project like this. And that's not incumbent solely on the city. It's also the racing development folks. And a lot of people have acknowledged that basic failure. So, you know, I mean, my hope would be that everybody involved in this could learn something going forward and, kind of involve people earlier on in the process. One of my frustrations with the MOU was that we were asking for it to be released, you know, last week. And people were saying, well, we can't release it yet because it's not signed. And my response to that is kind of like, look, release an early draft. You know, I mean, let the public comment on it. In my opinion, decisions that are made in conjunction with the public end up being better decisions than decisions that are made, with a fewer number of participants. Now, I understand that there's a negotiation aspect and all that, but at the end of the day, that would have gone so far to really get the public behind what you guys were doing. And, I share your concern about making sure that these trees actually get planted, because that to me could be the real tragedy here is that, you know, not only are we talking about the purchase of trees and the initial installation of trees, we're talking about the watering and the ongoing maintenance of these trees. It takes several years, as you guys well know, to get a tree up to a point where it's fully sustainable and self-supporting and that sort of thing. And, you know, water is not a cheap resource in this city. Getting somebody to go spend time and maintain them consistently is not cheap. So one of the goals that I feel like that, you know, I have to kind of shepherd at this point is to try to make sure that there is sufficient funding and a pledge for sufficient funding from Baltimore Racing Development to follow through on this promise. Because it seems to me as though there's a very ambitious plan here that's great for the city, but if it's not funded because the race isn't successful for some reason, then we all lose. And that's a real risk. So if there's anything that we as the citizenry can do to help back up what you guys have helped negotiate, let me just say I'm all about that, because I think that's what people want and I think that that's what the city needs.
Well, I mean, that's some of the things that are facing this. And folks, you can join us here. The lines are now open at 410-319-8888. If you look at the Grand Prix and the tree controversy that erupted around the Grand Prix or the cutting down of trees, 410-319-8888. Now, when you look at what a lot of people have been writing about this, a couple of things that they said. Well, some people have been writing in that the IndyCar series is the company running it doesn't have a great track record to start with, that they haven't been making much money wherever else they are, except maybe is it Daytona Beach. And even there, they've lost some money. And so somebody wrote in saying, well, look, so – and you used the word if in a little bit ago, Beth. Mm-hmm. And if they do it, in other words, if they plant the trees that they promised to plant. And that is the big if. I mean, supposing
really
they
is.
Don't. I mean, supposing they renege on their promise, supposing they say, oh, we can't do this now. They haven't signed the bottom line saying we are going to do this. So, you know, that's a huge if.
This, yes, but we have to turn it into not a huge if. And I think that when I think of the role, we very much believe, and I as the chair definitely believe, that the Sustainability Commission is the steward of that plan. And 1,000 citizens participated in the creation of that plan. It was signed into law, and it says we're going to protect and increase the tree canopy. So now we have an example before us where somebody has pledged to increase the tree canopy. And frankly, mature trees are more valuable than new trees. So you always have to balance the economic, social, and environmental costs of these things. So the negotiation took all that into account. The possible economic gains from the race in exchange for a reduction initially of the tree canopy and benefits you get from mature trees for an expansion of the canopy. So when I say the commission is going to pledge to monitor that, we have some staff at our disposal. We have 20 volunteers, and now we're aware of a group of people that is being organized by modern technology and sophistication communication. So we will join forces absolutely with the commission. We'll reach out and do monitoring. And the city is a party to that negotiation. So the onus is on Baltimore Racing Development, but the MOU is between two parties. So we need to We want to watch both the city and Baltimore Racing Development to make sure that this is followed through.
Right. And, you know, I think that one way that I think – that could help to be implemented would be to amend the MOU with some kind of binding terms such as, you know, a letter of credit or something like that that would define in certain terms exactly what would be made available even in the event of a default. And, you know, I will tell you that I've brought this subject up and it's not been met with a lot of enthusiasm, and I can understand why. And, you know, the Baltimore Racing Development, I believe, has a $750,000 bond that they have, you know, taken out for incidental expenses that may be incurred as part of the race. However, you know, when you consider that repaving city streets, all kinds of weird incidentals that could occur with this thing, dealing with weather conditions, whatever it might be, that's not all that much money. So I guess I feel that this agreement is very much at risk to financial default. I mean, the fact that this race does not have a lead sponsor. And again, I mean, I understand these guys are trying their best and they want to do a good thing both for themselves and for the city. But I have severe doubts about their ability to pull it off. And I think that, you know, I say that not to be pessimistic or negative or anything like that, but I do want to protect the city's interest in that. I know that you guys have been trying to do that too. And there's been a big balancing act here within the city and everything else. But that to me is like where the big concern lies. And I feel like that, you know, mobilizing people around that action of kind of amending the MOU to have a little bit more teeth is an important thing to do.
Well, so there's a lot up in the air here, and I know, Cheryl, what you were just saying a moment ago, even if all 4,520 people or whatever it ends up being on the petition that Dave Troy started online, I mean, where are they going to put the trees? If each person said, okay, we're going to plant a tree.
That's almost like a leading question.
It's not a leading question.
Well, no.
And who's going to take care of them once they are planted?
Well, so I'll say something, but I'm going to let Beth fill in the facts because she is the tree person. In fact, to reach the tree canopy goal, you'd have to plant 80% of those trees on private property.
Right.
Because of the way the tree canopy currently is arrayed in Baltimore City.
Yeah.
So this is actually something that the city, even if it wanted to, can't take the leadership role in meeting the tree canopy goal. So, for example, it's kind of interesting. Well, this is public land, but the city schools has a lower percentage of tree canopy than other parts of the city. So we have a huge opportunity to do stuff on school property, university property, and private property. So there is so much that individual people could do on this front. And frankly, there's a couple of organizations, the Parks and People Foundation, Blue Water Baltimore, that are some of the best-run organizations in the city and regularly coordinate volunteers around tree plantings. The city schools is totally on board with this. They have a person they're sharing with the Parks and People Foundation, and they're working closely with Tree Baltimore, thanks to the leadership formerly of Andrade, now of Eric Deal, to do tree planting in the schools. If people did nothing else, they could volunteer for a big October event that's going to be planting a ton of trees on city school property. And they just have to, I can give you the number.
Go ahead.
So if people wanted to get involved in that, they could call the Office of Sustainability at 410-396-4556. That's a very concrete thing people can do, work with kids, work with the schools. But the private property is where we need to increase tree canopy in this city.
Go ahead, Beth.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to just reiterate that when we did we actually have done with the U.S. Forest Service an analysis of the canopy coverage in the city and property ownership in the city, and that is where we came with that number. Is basically actually 98% of the land in the city is privately owned. You know, we the government actually don't own that much, but you know, 80% of that area, if you take out the right-of-ways and everything else, is all privately owned and has to be where we put the trees. So I think if all 4,500 people that signed that petition took one of our Tree Baltimore trees, which are small, they're given away for free. If you answer this number, we'll get you in touch with where to get them this fall. Put them in your yard, put them in the backyard, or put them in the front yard. You know, if you don't have a backyard or front yard, go to your mom's house. You know, go to your school. Go to your friend's mom's house. You know, find a place that you can put this tree and plant it for someone, because that's the only way we're really going to reach this mm-hmm. goal.
Well, in the time you have left at 410-319-8888 in this conversation, I want to hear from our listeners. I mean, you're willing to get involved in this, and this might sound like it's not tree-hugging. It's life-sustaining. So I'm curious if you're what you all think, 410-319-8888. And, David, you were about to say something.
Oh, just a couple quick points. You know, I mean, it absolutely incredible if everybody involved in this could go out and plant a tree on their own property. And I think we do need a lot more of that kind of thing. I will point out that, you know, it is a matter of maintaining these trees and watering them. People just think, you know, sometimes you can just go put a tree in the ground and it's going to be great. And at the end of the day, these are like babies. You know, you got to water them, you got to feed them, you got to make sure that they're taken care of and protected environmentally and that. So it is a little bit of a project to take on and raise, and people should not take it lightly. The other point I wanted to make was that one of the things that came up as part of this last week was that the city actually has a piece of city code that protects trees. In the case where trees are taken down by the Department of Public Works or Rec and Parks. And we learned in court on Monday that section of city code does not apply to trees taken down by anybody else. So if a private contractor goes and takes down a tree, the law does not require that 5 days' notice be given by putting a legible notice onto the tree. And I think that's something that we need to bring to the attention of city council. I think we need stronger protections for trees, because at the end of the day, that law was drafted in 1966. And if folks had, basically put the notice onto the trees that were going to be taken down, there would have been much more understanding about what was happening. Okay, and it was designed to create better public participation.
I'm just saying, because we have very little time.
I'm nodding my head because she can back me up on this. I actually concur because, I mean, we actually have that on our list of things to do for the Office of Sustainability. Two things, you know, we need to amend that code.
Mm-hmm.
We need to actually go back and update the Forest Conservation Ordinance. We are creating a landscape manual and a landscape ordinance. All these things go together. So I'm looking forward to working with you on
Absolutely.
All these things. And the maintenance thing, before you even said it, I had written it down. That's the other big battle, is it costs money to keep trees healthy, and we have to start to think about that and how that's going to be funded over time.
Absolutely.
So we've just about run out of time, so we will come back to this, get these trees planted in Baltimore. I think it would be a good thing to get to this early in the fall and get people to come back, and we'll also look at the Grand Prix after it happens and see if these folks are actually going to live up to what they promised. We'll find out about that as well. But that's not Beth Stroman's problem.
Thank goodness.
Beth Stroman is manager of the City Office of Sustainability. David Troy, founder of Roadhouse Technologies, who organized a petition against the tree cutting. Shaw Kashiani, chair of the Baltimore Commission on Sustainability and chair of Neighborhood Sustainability at the Baltimore Community Foundation. Thanks, all three of you, for being here.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Before we go to this quick break, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. And coming up, We hear from some lovely young girls who come from elementary school, or Toto from the Nile, along with Dick Gregory. It's interesting. We would take these lyrics from hip-hop songs, turn them around to things that are just beautiful to hear. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Toto from the Nile and the great Dick Gregory. Don't go away.